Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, turning the gift back on. Jessica Angeli grew up knowing she had a gift to see and communicate with the dead. Growing up, she would find this gift to be more of a curse than a blessing, eventually finding a way to tune out of the sensitivity. Jessica would find a way to move on with life in what some would call a more normal fashion. Several years later, Jessica would discover that her own son had the same sensitivity and abilities that she had as a child, that she at one point did turn off. This would inspire her to tap back into her abilities to not only help her son navigate through them, but to help others reach out and communicate with the spirits of the dead.
I had multiple instances in childhood that I can remember. It started around 5 years old for me, and the first thing that happened was I lost my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and we were at my parents' first house that they bought together, I should say. And I was about five, and the night she passed and we buried her, I was trying to sleep in my room, and she just kind of walked right in, and kind of just stood there and smiled. And I remember very vividly she was wearing a long black dress with red roses, and that's what she was buried in. And the next morning, I told my mother that Grandma Sadie came in and walked in and just smiled at me. And she's like, oh, no, it was just a dream. It was just a dream. Kind of, you know, doing what most parents do when they're, you know, nervous or frightened or unsure of the unknown. They kind of put you into duality and say, oh, it was just a dream. Mm-hmm. And so later on in life, I actually found out that my mom confessed to me that the night that I saw my grandmother, she actually had a dream about her. So she also was visited by my grandmother that same night, which I found very interesting because she tried saying that I was having a dream, but really she had the dream. And, you know, you find out, you know, that a lot of times in this world of the paranormal that when our loved ones pass on, they will try to visit in dreams. Mm-hmm. And so I told my mom, you know, that's what she was probably trying to do, is visit us both, and she got us both on the same night, except I was actually able to see her in person and meet her in her dreams. So that's kind of what started it for me. And then I told that was my great-grandmother that passed, and I told my grandmother about it. And I found out that, you know, she had a gift that she bestowed upon me, basically, through somehow genetics or whatever. And we both saw things that other people could not see. And to this day, she's still my go-to person when I have an experience, which I have tons now, being a medium and working in as an investigator. I always call her and say, hey, guess what happened? And if something happens with her, she'll call me and say, hey, guess what happened? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool that she's the beginning for me.
How did you feel when you first learned about having this gift? I mean, it obviously you had the experience of your great-grandmother, and then you heard the story from your mother, and then you told your grandmother about this. It's an interesting thing to try and contemplate, especially if this is all very, very new to you. How did your grandmother communicate what this was all about, what this gift was? How did she explain that to you as a child?
Well, when I was younger, I felt like it was more of a curse, to be honest. I was absolutely terrified. I had trouble understanding at first, and I didn't realize, like, that not everyone could do it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I felt like I thought I was just normal. I thought that everyone could talk to these people because they didn't show up as like ghastly people. They showed up as regular people. It's not like the movies for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that I would see people out in public and, you know, be like, "Mom, can you see that person?" And she'd be like, "Who are you talking about?" And so for me, I'd be at school and, you know, somebody would walk in and I'd look over and I was like, "What are you looking at?" You know, it's not like the movies for me. So I had trouble understanding at first that, you know, you have to kind of discern who's living and who's dead. And so she had helped me a lot with that and communicated after I explained that I was having trouble. She's like, "You have to ask the right questions. The first one being, are you alive or dead?" And then sometimes they didn't even know. They didn't even know that they had passed. And that's why they came to me, because I could see them. You know what I mean? So my grandmother, she sat me down the very first time when I was explaining about my great-grandmother and said, you know, "Sometimes people will come to see you, and it's okay to be afraid, but you don't have to be. They're not going to hurt you. They can't hurt you. And they just want to talk, and they need someone to listen." And so that's kind of how it all started. And I still was very scared, though. That was the hardest part for me as a child, when people would show up in your room at night that you don't know. You know, there are times that I would stay awake until the sun came up and have to go to school the next day. And my mom couldn't understand why I was always tired, and it's because I was terrified. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to stay home and hide under my blankets and covers.
Sure.
You know, and now as an adult, I understand that I have a duty to fulfill, to help these people, these souls, that some of them are lost souls that just want to move on and don't know that they've passed. And I also have a duty to help the living to have closure. But growing up, I was like, "Why me?" Mm-hmm. You know? And I turned it off for a long time. I ignored it up until recently. And we can talk about that later on, yeah. The catalyst that kind of brought me back.
But, yeah, I'd like to get to that. But I have several questions about what this experience is like for you, because it's a hard one to wrap your mind around if you're not that level of sensitive and you don't have these experiences. So when you were seeing these figures, these what people will call ghosts or entities or people that are dead, that are around mm-hmm. you, was there any sign? Is there any sign that when you're, for example, I always say, I wonder how many ghosts there are in a shopping mall because there's so many people. And it, when you have that many people, it's hard to decipher, you know, who's what. Is it that difficult? Is it where they're just clear as day? There's no differential. You could be walking down the street and you don't know if that person that's passing you on the opposite sidewalk is living or dead without having some sort of communication. Or is there any way to sense or know what it is you're looking at or who it is you're looking at least for you when you were younger?
So when I was younger, I had no clue. Now I kind of have some telltale signs. But when I was younger, I had no idea what I was dealing with. And then once I realized what I was dealing with, I was absolutely terrified. Obviously, when I was at home, if somebody walked into my bedroom, I knew they were not living.
Sure.
But out in public, no, I had no clue unless I had communicated. It took a while for me to realize that nobody else could see them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first telltale sign in public, that there was somebody, you know, there. If people would just walk up to me that were not living, or spirits would walk up to me that were not living, and my mom couldn't see them, obviously, and I knew that, you know, they were not living. And I'd shake my head and she'd be like, "What are you saying? Hi, what are you doing?" You know, I was always a very awkward child because of that. So
when others could not see them, Obviously, that can be an awkward moment. You don't want to stand out when you're young as being different or something, you have some ability that others don't have, because most people are just going to look at you, and I'm sure you're well aware of it, go, oh my gosh, you're crazy. Even though you know you are not, but good luck convincing them. Mm-hmm. How did you handle that when you would be distracted, when you would see something that others weren't seeing, and especially when you weren't sure if you were in fact seeing a living person walking down the sidewalk and you're just looking out there and somebody goes and says, what are you staring at? There's nobody out there. How did you handle that?
Well, when I was really young, I didn't know what to say, so I just kind of ignored them. As I got to about middle school age, I was like, oh, sorry, I must have been daydreaming. And so I was like the dreamer in the classroom. My teacher is always like, quit daydreaming, Jessica, quit daydreaming. And so I say I was kind of in a trance mode now, but you know, when your eyes kind of glaze over,
yeah,
that's kind of how it was for me. And so my teacher just assumed I was daydreaming. Sure. But there were times that I'd slip up, and that's a lot of my younger years, my elementary years. A lot of kids thought I was the weirdo and stuff like that. So I didn't have many friends. I had maybe one or two, and that was it. I didn't talk to a lot of people, and I got made fun of a lot for being different. But, you know, it happens. Kids are mean sometimes. And
sure.
That's one thing I've instilled in my son to understand, is that everyone's different and it's okay, and not to be worried if people say things, because he is like me, but we'll get to that later.
Sure.
So yeah, as a child, it was very difficult. Honestly, like I said earlier, right around seventh grade is when I kind of started ignoring things and shut everything off and did my best to ignore the weird stuff happening around the house, which I think made them kind of upset, you know? I often imagine like a light switch when I want to turn it on or turn it off, kind of like a dimmer switch. And in my head, I just kind of dim it down and say, well, I'm not dealing with you guys right now. Sorry. And I kind of did that in school, I think, after I realized I was capable of doing that.
And
they kind of went away.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.